Now I want to spend time with you this morning in John's first epistle. It has been thought by many that this is my favorite epistle. And the thought may indeed be right. Do you know, it must be terrible to be very, very clever and have a wonderful brain and be able to study things and not have the Holy Ghost. Because a certain person upon whom much reliance is placed has studied this and he's decided that John didn't write it. Would you? And he's got a lot of money from writing a book about it, and probably they pay him a lot to teach others the same error. But the truth is, beloved, that you only know, as our dear brother, or the Lord through our dear brother, was telling us this morning. And I thought to myself as he was preaching, well, he's in the tradition, all right. Glory be to God. And you are to abide by the tradition you've been taught. So Paul, the apostle, informs those that read his letters. And you had an illustration of something, at least it came to me whilst our brother was talking, and I told him he was being rash in saying 2 minutes. You can't get a river through in 2 minutes. You can empty a cup in a second. Beloved. But it reminded me of something. I don't know where I was a time ago, and just recently, and we had a precious time together, and somebody said, oh, the revelation, it flows. I said, yes. Of course, that's what it does do. Do you know the secret of a river? I said to this person. Oh, I stood there. I said, well, the secret of a river is that one lot of water gets out of the way quick and let the rest not come. Right? That's how it flows. One lot of water gets out of the way quick and lets another lot come in its place. And that keeps going. The other keeps coming. You see? That's right. Now, isn't that right? That's the secret of it. River never stops to say, now, I must read my notes now. That lot of water came up from the source and it's there and it's gone and the next lot's in its place. That's the secret of a river. If it ceases to do that, it's no longer a river. All the water's getting out of the way and let's not come. What a precious thing this is. All right, now let's look, shall we, into this glorious epistle and see what God has written in it for us. And if you read the epistles, of course, or anything that God has given, you'll see that it's given on the principle of the flowing river. There are no points set out. There are no headings, subheadings, divisions, illustrations, applications, and things like that. It's all on the principle of the flowing river. That's right. And what you do, you open your mouth at the first word and keep drinking till you get to the last. And the river's flowed through you. Or it should have done. And this is what God intends. And in this lovely epistle of John's, we have this glorious principle set out for us. But I want to stop on some of the tiniest words in this epistle. And if you look, it's one of the glorious things about this epistle, it's filled up with tiny words. You see? There are some big words, for instance, there's propitiation in it. And there are three syllable words in it, but by and large it's filled up with simple little words of one syllable. And it's a tremendous and simple and glorious thing that when you really do, and I know I've got to take this to my heart too, because some people say, oh, you use long words. Well, it's just because sometimes one word will say as much as you'd say in two sentences, so it helps cut the length of the preaching down. Unless you have to stop and explain the word. But as you go on in simplicity and in loveliness with the Lord, simpler and simpler it all becomes. Because it's not an impartation of knowledge, but it's an impartation of the spirit and the life that's in you. That's what the ministry is all about. Now, these simple words we shall find, such as of and with, prepositions they're called, and in and as. Lovely little words, aren't they? You see, the longest one's only got four letters in it. But oh, beloved, when you think that there's one letter that's got everything in it, and it's the letter I, just one word, God says I. I. Often when you read I am, for instance, in your Bible, the am isn't there in either the Hebrew or the Greek, it's just I. I. Everything's in it. Just one letter. Now learn that. Learn the simplicity of it. I. And then, just to complicate it, he puts a two-letter word next, am. If that's complication, it's as wonderful as that. So in three letters, I am. And it's all been said. And everything in the universe has come from I. God's self-consciousness. Eternally existent life. Think of it. God make me simple. God make me simple. As we often say, it's only human beings that are complicated. There's never a simpler person than God. He's the simplest being in the whole universe. It's only human beings that get complicated, and salvation is to rescue them from their complications, which take the form of knots, blockages, bondages, and all sorts of things inside. Sin. All to get an uncomplicated being. If you want one, have Jesus. Amen. All right, let's start, shall we, in this glorious fourth chapter. 1 John 4 verse 6, just the first four words. There you have an illustration of simplicity. We are of God. There it is. We are of God. We are, you know. We're of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Think of that. We're not of the devil. We're not of the world. We're not of self either. And I am not of my mother and father. This is the most glorious thing about it. See, you look at yourself before you know the Lord, and you're of your mother and father. But once you're born again, once you're born again, you're of God. You're of God. Amen. You come forth from God into this world as clearly as Jesus Christ did. To that end, God slew you dead by his cross to kill you, and then gave you birth onto this earth, a new person. But there. That's what it's all about. Lots of people think they get born again and get the old man crucified and self-crucified 10 years afterwards. They've never read that. It didn't even common sense, did it? If you're still alive, how can you be given birth? You're dead.
You never were.
In this sense, you've got to be born of God.
Well, the scripture says, born from above. You were born from up there. You weren't born from down here. And this is the great and glorious thing that so many have missed through the ages. That God's great secret is that he, by coming into the world himself in Jesus Christ, ended the old utterly. He entered in and he dealt with everything. Amen. That he should begin anew entirely with us. Praise his name. You're of God. In fact, that's the way John puts it a little higher up in that same chapter. Look at verse 4. You are of God. He's telling all the little children now. You're of God. We're of God. That's a precious thing. In fact, he keeps on talking like this in this epistle. Look at verse 19. What do you think of that one? Of chapter 5, I mean. The last chapter. You should give me a little other chapters. I sort of know this so backwards. I think you do. So that shows you how much I've taken you into my own mind and thinking. You see, he says, we know that we're of God, and that's it. See, it isn't that you've got to be just told that you're of God. You've got to be able to jump and dance and sing and say, we know we're of God. We know it. He says that we're of God, but we know we're of God. What's the use of being alive if you don't know it? I sometimes tell the story, it's the same story, I'm sorry if you've heard this one before, but it's the only one I really know about this. But it's so fixed itself on my heart, beloved, that to this day I can never start to think along these lines, but I see that same poor little chappy. His name was Jamie. He was a boy, and he sat on a woman's knee in Dr. Bernardo's home down in Kent, where I used to live. And we went to this place, and there they had all the poorly children. And what a sight it was. This dear woman was sitting there trying to force food down the throat of a boy that was alive in that he was breathing. But he was like a lump of jelly, and he had no control over anything, and he was blind, and he was deaf, and he was dumb. He was alive, but he didn't know it. He didn't know it. I shall never forget him. And the patience and love of that dear woman on whose lap he sat. And she wasn't his mother. He didn't know he was alive. You see, we know we're of God. We know we're of God. Don't we? Bless God. I know I'm of God. What a tremendous statement to make. Could Jesus Christ say more when he walked on the earth? Yes, he could, but not about that subject. He could stand up to people and he could say, I know I'm of God. Is that right, Mary? Yes, he's of God. But he didn't need Mary to corroborate it. He knew he'd come into this world from his Father. And you were going to know. You've got to know you've had such a clear new birth from your Father in heaven into this world that God, let's get it right into our hearts, has graced and privileged this world again with another son, being born onto it, born onto this earth. No wonder people like you and I can't have anything to do with the things of the world. We've come into this world completely new people. There's a new program. There's a new life. There's a new everything. The old's gone. It saddens me when I meet people that tell me years after they say they've been born again, they're still fighting to get rid of this, and still fighting to get rid of that, still fighting to get rid of the other. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I don't know whether you believe in the stupid theories of evolution, but I can assure you, when I was born into the world as a human being, I've never been struggling to get rid of a tail ever since. See? I was born perfect. And how about that? I was all there when I was born, all of me. I've only grown since. I didn't suddenly get an arm stuck on 6 months after I was born, and then a little while longer I had a leg stuck on. You see, all that developed was the leg that was there, and the brain that was there. Yeah, it's all that's happened. Isn't it a marvelous thing? You see, I was born complete. I'm all here. Now, this is the great thing about it. I didn't know that, mind you. I couldn't have told you that a fortnight after I was born. But the whole glorious truth is that when I was born again, I knew it. I knew it instantly. I knew I was all there. Yeah. That's right. I knew that. Oh, glory. I knew it. I was alive, as the scripture says, alive unto God. You know where to find that, don't you? That's in the Roman letter. I won't tell you what chapter, because that'll make you read it through. And you're to be alive unto God with all your faculties in the spirit, everything there, everything developed. And because it's a spiritual birth, it's not, you haven't got to wait like you do for physical birth to recognize self, to get self-consciousness. You ever seen these babies that are completely uninhibited? They got no self-consciousness at all. When they start to grow, they get gangling and awkward, and then they get shy, and then they have a lot of problems, and you know, all sorts of things. But when you're really born of God, beloved, you're born as God wants you to be. It's a precious and glorious thing for us to understand. Oh, it's wonderful to know you're of God. Isn't it? You can go walking out there as a God. You can go amongst the most terrible conditions and in the vilest lot of people around you say, I'm of God. None others of these people are. No others. There's a man sitting in this room this morning. I'm not even going to look at him. But I remember when he was born again. And not long afterwards, he went to preach in a church. He went and stood up on the platform to open his mouth to preach. And when he came home, and he said to me, Brother, I knew as I stood there that none of them knew what I was talking about. None of them. Oh, glory. The church is full of them, you see. So called, I think. And God wants us to know that we're of God. Utterly of God. To know it in your own conscious being. This is what defeats the devil, you see. This is what shows he has no power over you at all in this great realm. We are of God, little children. We know we're of God. Amen. Now, it's wonderful to know that we're of God, but God wants us to enter into something more than that. And in the first chapter, we find this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, not only now of God, but now it's with God. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the glorious thing that God, beloved, gave you birth so that you should be of him, of his substance, of his seed, of his life, of his nature, of his personality in development, which will always be Jesus. That's the manifest God, the manifest human personality of God is Jesus. Amen. That you should know you're of his thought and of his will and of his desire and of his people and of his heart. That's right. You've got to know you're of him. Part of him. We shall see this far more closely as we go on, I trust. But you've been given this to have fellowship with him. That's why. You see, glory be to the name of the Lord. You've all been out walking, haven't you, in these fields and woods. In fact, some have come to me and whispered to me little bits about what they've seen in nature. You walked amongst the trees and you thought they were gorgeous, but none of you went up to a tree and said, "You're wonderful," and had fellowship with it, did you? Did you? Why not? Why don't you have fellowship with a tree? Not the same nature. That's right, not the same nature. It has no power of response. Now, Jesus, you were born of God to have power of response to God. Amen. He wanted to have fellowship with you. You see, God is a great lover, as we were saying last night. I'll tell you what. He's a great handler. You see, old John said, "Our hands have handled him." Amen. He just wants to put his arms all round you and love you and love you. And if some of you wonder why I, when I'm speaking with people and deal with people, I put my arms round them, it's for that very reason. Because all of us are shut up. We can't do it. Moreover, the devil has told us it's wrong to do it. The rotten liar. You see. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus is living in the bosom of his Father this morning? You see. This is one of the things that sin has brought into the world. It's one of the inwritten I must not. You see. But when the Lord comes and he deals with us, and we're of God, we're of his purity, and we're of his love, and we're of his tenderness, and we're of his brokenness by the cross, and we're of his compassions, and there's a pure fountain of life that's rising within to shine forth like the effulgence of the sun. Oh, sorry for that word. I'm talking about simplicity. But... Beloved, he's a lover. He's a lover. I know if people can't have real fellowship with me, I know they haven't got real fellowship with God. They've never yet been taught what fellowship is. Not yet. They may subscribe to it with their mouths and their tongues. They may do that. They may think it's a magnificent word. But fellowship is nothing other than actual union in love and integration into the being and personality of another. That's fellowship. Amen. It is the glorious, glad response of a being going home, uniting. And how true this word about the magnet this morning with its north and south pole. When he said north, I wonder what he was going to say next. But there it is. The north and south pole, these two glorious opposites upon which our precious world turns. And isn't this the whole secret of the magnetic love of God? One of the two poles that were joined, humanity and deity. All the love of God to us turns on this north and south pole, these two opposites. And this is the magnetism of it. God did not stop up in heaven saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, come to me. You might well be right if you said, well, give me some wings then. How can I come? Yes, you might well be right. You could join the crowd of the mockers. You see, but you don't go and sit in the seat of the scornful, because Jesus has come down here. God came down here. Widest extremes to join. This is the Wesleyan phrase, that we come here, beloved, he's here. Amen. And he got right down on this earth. He said, come to me, all ye, come to me. That's his great word. Come, 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 he said. And when you lift me up on that tree, I'll draw you. Praise God. That's the thing you won't be able to resist. Ultimately, it's Calvary. Not just the invitations. It's God and man joined to deal with the divisive thing. The thing that keeps you away. The thing that shuts you up. The thing that makes you so self-conscious. So pride, so proudful. You say, no, it's shy, it's self-consciousness. No, 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 it's nothing of the sort. Not really. That's the way we talk about it. It's this refusal to throw everything down and die, 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 that you might come alive. Amen. There's a wonderful death for you. God planned it. He decided to kill you, stone dead. Amen. You see, that's what he deceived you. There was no other way. So that you can be free to come. Oh, God. John says, it's only that which was in the beginning. That. What you're longing for. You can't give the name. His name is Jesus, of course. But that. You want that. I remember men have come to me. I want what you've got. I want what you've got. Oh, I say, well, you can have it. You see, we're still in the neuters, you see, the abstracts, it, what, that. But it's Jesus, do you see? That's it. It's Jesus. This is the whole truth. You don't know what we're after. So Jesus comes down here, and he put himself in everybody's reach. No, John said, we have to. And beyond the touch of his reaching fingers, there was the quest of a heart that wanted to know for itself. Amen. So we've seen him. We've heard him. We've looked on him. Praise God. We've handled him. Glory, he said. And did you see why? You know why it was? Because God wants you to have fellowship with him and with his son. And if you have fellowship with him and his son, you'll have fellowship with John. With us, he said. You'll have fellowship with all those that can say, we're of God. We're of God. Say, and we're with him too. We're with him. We're in fellowship with him. All my powers, all my instincts, all my abilities, all my latent capacities, everything that's lying down there slumbering and asleep, and before when you let it rise up from that smouldering heap of passion inside, it went wrong. So that you've learned never to trust yourself. And then you try the old legal method of thou shalt not. On come the clamps and the screws. And you're a Jew. You're not a Christian at all. You're under the old covenant. Jesus comes to kill the source of it. Amen. But this is the power of the cross. Set you free. Give you a new heart with the laws written in as the basic laws of human conduct naturally lived in the spirit. This is what it's all about. So that you can be free and marvelous and love him and come into fellowship with the Lord. Don't you see? Now let it sink in. Let it sink in. Your great God wants to treat you as his equal. That's the glory of the new birth. To treat you as his equal. Think of it. To have fellowship with you. Like you have fellowship with someone in your tent or in your room. Now, you've got to. You rub shoulders with them. You sleep side by side them. You have fellowship with them. You're their equal. You know they are. You know you are. I'm not saying we've all got puffed up heads. That's not what I'm trying to say. We think we're as good as anybody else. That's not what I'm talking about. That's one of the things I love about coming to Rory. You can go to some conferences, and if you pay a big enough screw, you can go to a lovely little secluded room, and you can have the best cuisine, and you can, it'll cost you up to about 15 guineas a week or something like that, and have a marvelous conference, and you get all the best people there. But you see, if you come to Rory, you've got to sleep in a tent. And you're charged nothing. But if any of you rob Malcolm about this, I shall despair of you. You're charged nothing. But you see, you've got to learn to sleep on a bale of straw. But that's all right. Jesus often used to sleep under hedges. In barns, haystacks. He was on the road. He loved people. See, that's where the wise men proved how foolish they were. They went to Herod's palace. They hadn't got a clue. That's how you know the star never guided them. And all these pictures with stars guiding people across the desert are all wrong. The Bible never says they were guided by a star. Only from the palace to the stable. That's the only place they were guided by the star. When God said, I'd better step in and show them where they're wrong now. They saw a star in the east. It doesn't say they followed them all. Well, you read the Bible. Read the Bible. And burn up all those rubbishy Christmas cards that you get about the others. Or don't ever send them. Don't lead people astray. The whole position is, beloved, that you see, God wants us to be down here on this glorious level. Down here, in fellowship with him. You think of this word, fellowship. One of God's fellows. The angels can't say. Oh, handling and hearing and seeing and loving and coming closer and closer and closer, having fellowship with him. Bless God. And you know, you can have that anywhere. You don't just have to come here to have fellowship. You might get started on the path here, but you can have it everywhere. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. Bless God. The life was manifested, we've seen it. And we show unto you, we show it to you, he said. God showed it to us, we show it to you. That's the job, that's how it gets passed on. You've got to show it to this coming generation. You've got to show it to all these young people that were prayed about in this room this morning. You've got to show that you're in fellowship with God. Now, if you're in fellowship with God, this means that you're doing the things he wants you to do. This means that you're saying the things he wants you to say. That stops all this clever talk and snap and claptrap talking. That stops all that. You're walking in fellowship with him all the time. Marvelous. And I can remember. Where was I? I'm going back years now. I was somewhere going down in the south thing. Oh, I know where I was, near on the River Thames. It was the day when war was declared. I know, that's going back a long time, isn't it? I was even preaching then. And I'd gone out to preach for this weekend, and it was the Sunday that war declared. And if anybody's old enough, it was to remember this. It was declared on one Sunday. Yes, it was Sunday. Our country declared war on the world, nearly, or on the wrong part of the world, so they thought, on a Sunday. And I went down this church, and the sirens were blowing. They got some false alarms up, or else they were getting the people used to it for what was coming or something. And I went down to preach in this church. I thought, well, I wonder how many people have come this morning. You know, I wonder how many people have come, because the threat of it has been hanging over the country for a long time. And I went down there, and the dear lady that entertained me, she was down there, and we got inside and looked up, and presently down the path came a gentleman. He walked down the path, and he walked in. He was a dear man of God. His wife wasn't. His wife was not saved. It's a terrible thing when families get divided on this, you know. Bless God. Do it together. Oh, glory. Bless God. It would have been a pain in your family. If not. You see, and his wife wasn't with him. And he walked in the door and he said, you know, war's declared. It was a king then, I think it was going to make a statement. Or was it the Prime Minister? I forgot. On the wireless this morning at 11 o'clock. He said, and as I was coming out of the door, my wife said to me, aren't you going to stay and listen to what the king, or was it the Prime Minister, is going to say? He said, no. Oh, it was the king. That's right. He said, listen to what the king says. He said, no, I'm going down there to listen to what the King of Kings says. Thank God. His fellowship was with the Father and with the Son. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory. I expect it upset his wife a good bit, but you have to upset them sometimes. Sometimes. If they won't be sensible. And of course wives have to upset husbands too, if they won't be sensible. It's a tremendous thing in this great realm to be in the fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and you just think of that. And is it true that John the Divine and that early church handled God the Father and God the Son like God the Son and God the Father handled each other? Get on another chair. How much do your chairs cost? Is it true that human beings can enter into that fellowship, the exclusive fellowship? Eh? Yes. Providing they're of God. Then they can. Until they're of God, they are not in this fellowship and can't have this fellowship, though they may for years want it. But when they're of God, all the things that prevent it have all gone. I now have a nature union, you see. It's as natural for me, and it must be for you, to have fellowship with God as with anybody anywhere. Natural. simple as that. I don't have to go through a lot of exercises, read my special books or special portions. I don't have to do anything like that. No such thing as clattering off in tongues to get myself in the mood for 10 minutes. Or not telling beads or something. You know, of course we don't do that. I mean, you don't have to. There's nothing, beloved. Nothing of that in it whatsoever. Oh, but in this world I have something to speak in tongues to get myself in the right frame. Well, I don't. Neither did Jesus, as far as I can see. Praise the name of the Lord, beloved. There is a place where you just walk in the glory and the fellowship of the Father. Amen. And sometimes, you know, if my mind happens to be on something else, and I might be engaged with something else, it's just as though the Lord comes up and says, here, I want you. And I want to throw myself down on a bench somewhere. You know, oh, Jack loves you. He's more anxious for it often than I am, if anxiety is the word. Why do you think he came down to Adam and Eve from God? Why do you think he came down? He wanted fellowship with Adam and Eve. You see, broke his heart in the day he looked for him. Of course he knew. He was not blind. But he came down and went right through it, beloved, because of his tenderness and his compassion. And he knew he was going to be manifest as a man anyway, down on this earth. He came down there and he sobbed out, Adam, where have you got to? Where have you got to, Adam? You see, glory be to God. Now this is what he wants. He wants fellowship with you. And you've got to drop all this other business and have fellowship with him. If you say, well, I'm busy doing this, I'm busy doing that, I'm busy doing the other. I know. I know all about that. Well, stop it. Have your fellowship with the Lord. And when you've got your relationship right there, he'll then allow you to go out and do something else. Amen. Because you'll know how to carry it and live and walk in it. Let's go on, shall we? This time I want to go to the 5th chapter again. And in the 5th chapter, we read this glorious truth. That we're not only of him and with him, but in verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come. Not did come, notice that, it's not past tense. He is come forever. He here. That's right. He is come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not is coming, this isn't a second Advent verse. He's here, it's a first Advent verse, this one. Is he, have you ever had this Advent? I don't mean in history, he is. He is come. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true and that we are in him that is true. I'm not only of him and with him, but I'm in him. Oh, praise God. He's given me this understanding. He's given me this understanding that I'm in him. What a glorious thing this is. I'm in him. Do you know, Jesus Christ couldn't say more. These are the basic things of Jesus Christ's own manhood. He had fellowship with the Father. And he could stand and say, in John 14, you may read it for yourself. He said, don't you believe that I'm in my Father and my Father's in me? See? No, we can't. They couldn't see that. You see? In him. And in him. Don't you see? And in him. I understand I'm in him. All the things that have seemed that to other people that give them misery and pain and knock them over, they never do that to me. Because I'm in him. You see? I'm not in them things.
This is what it means to be in the world and not of it. You only think that means, oh, I don't go to pictures and I don't go dancing and I don't go boy hunting and girl hunting. You see, is that what you think it means? Now, glory be to God. It's far greater. We're in Him. We're in Him. We know that we're in Him, that's true. We're in reality. And it's everything else that's unreal. We're in Him. And you're supposed to have this understanding. You've got to understand you're in Him. You have got this understanding, have you? This is John's way of saying what Paul said, saying in the Colossian letter, chapter 3. He says, your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, beloved, this is the most glorious place of discovery, of really not finding out about God, but knowing God. This is what's behind your eternal life sentence, you see. In John 17, you see, that you may know, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, Father. Oh, he's talking to his Father. Oh, Father, that they may know thee. Glory, that they may know thee. Now, you call to this? You're to know him by personal discovery. Not now by revelation only, though revelation is a vital and fundamental thing. Revelation is you very much conscious of yourself that God is giving you revelation. But knowing God is very much conscious of God. That I'm in a free God. He's open. I can have as much of him by handling it personally. I'm really alive. By seeing it all for myself, by hearing it all for myself, by being in Him. Now look what a heritage you've got. That's why you, although it's good to sing, you know, get very happy and dance and jump and sing about rivers of milk and honey rising and all those lovely luscious choruses that make your mouth water, that whilst it's fairly good to sing that, there's something far better, beloved. We're not in a land, we're in the being. That's life. See? We're in Him. That's marvelous, isn't it? Oh, life is just knowing God. Oh, the discovery of it. Now, this is what's behind that great word of Paul to Timothy. When he talks about those that love his appearing. Love his appearing. Not that for whom he's going to appear, you see. But love his appearing. Because he appears. And not like the bliss of the bride in the Song of Solomon, who said, he stands behind our wall. He shows himself through the lattice. He's appeared there. But he's gone! He's gone! Where is my beloved? But as you walk and go about Father's business, and as you're moving in fellowship with him, he appears. He appears. Do you have visions? I've never had one in my life. Never had a vision in my life. How about that? I've had plenty of appearances, though. I prefer those, personally. I mean, I don't despise the other. Don't misunderstand me. But he appears to me. Do you see him with your naked eye? No. No, I don't. Didn't that. But
all of a sudden, that consciousness, to your inner consciousness, the real I,
I said it starts with the I, self-consciousness, God, pure, it all comes from that.
And to yourself, you, the I that has been crucified and dead and buried and raised. We've been all along this, I don't want to go over our previous times together. But to that purified, self-purified, that is purified of self, not by self, purified of self, and self-ambition, and self-centeredness, and self-glorification, and self-getting, and self-gain, gone, rid of it forever, unto that one that walks in the glory of the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Oh, there's the warmth of this atmosphere as you're there, held between the heart of the Father and the Son, that you're in fellowship. You can reach out this hand if you like and touch Jesus, who deigns to call himself your beloved and your brother, and that hand and your own Father, and you're in between. And you're right, you've got your two poles of walking. You're in balance now. You can't live a balanced life if there's anything wrong with your hearing. That's right. I mean physically. That's where your organ of balance is, in your ears. It's marvellous, isn't it? It's marvellous. God is doing this, and you're just walking there. And you know the sort of things that they say to one another. No wonder your language becomes new and your voice becomes modulated. You're in the fellowship. You're in the life. This is what it is. And we know we're in him. We know we're in him. In him that is true. That we know him that's true. John is, oh, I could kiss old John. I could kiss this Bible. If John was here, I'd kiss him and I'd kiss him and I'd kiss him. Fancy, he's put it down here. The way they used to live, these glorious apostles. It's here. That early church, this is their simplicity of living. You keep yelling out for power, 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 and you think you're going to sweep the world, and I don't know what you're not going to do. My beloved brothers and sisters, all to know this. And everything seems to be power there. To live in this original life. To live in the eternal life. To live in the glory of consciousness, not death. The life. And as you go on, you get stronger. It's attuned to God. The unusualness and the strangeness of it grows. And it becomes habit. Praise God. It becomes normal to walk with God. Praise the name of the Lord, and you're in him. You're in God. Do you know you can walk anywhere then in this world? You'll never fall off the edge. You won't walk out of God. See? And I know people, you see, if they go some places, they have a good old session first, sprinkling blood all over them because they think they're going to the devil's den. How are you never going to devil's dens? You're walking in God. It's all this devil den business. The enemy's deceived you. He's got your mind full of devils. It's the world that's full of devils. So, well, we're living in the world, are we? No, we're not. It's what Paul said. Why? As though living in the world. Read your epistles. You're not living in the world. You are. He says you're not. You're not, so touch not, taste not, handle not. The Lord perishes and you and all that lot. As though you're living in the world. Stop all that business. Come and live in God. It's much better here.
No devils here.
That's right, Glory. Please, you don't believe there are any devils in God, do you? No sin in God either. That's why he says, he that's born of God doesn't commit sin. That's what he says, you see. But you see, you can't talk like that unless you know it.
That's why I emphasize, he says, we know, you see. He's not advancing a highly questionable theory.
He's talking about what he knows. Well, you can throw the Bible at his head,
but you won't knock the knowledge out of his heart.
Don't you see? He knows.
Oh, Glory. You've got to have that knowledge in your heart. He's got to be down in there. He's got to be there.
You've got to know God. Amen. Then and only then are you qualified to talk to others about it. Praise God. And we could go on in this glorious realm. We know. If others say, well, we know it's different. Well, they do know it's different, you see, because they're not in the same place, that's all, is it? I mean, it's no good. It wouldn't be any good you going to Greenland and saying, now, we know that the sun shines for 9 months of the year in India, and if you go down Kerala, the land of palm trees, the rivers are flowing, you sit under the hibiscus bushes, you see. No, we don't. We sit in our igloos, and it snows for 9 months of the year. That's what they know. Well, we go down there, we wash ourselves. No, we don't. We rub ourselves with whale blubber. You see, that's it. They don't know. Don't you see? And you listen to them, and they're telling the absolute truth. But so's the other person telling the truth. What's the difference? What's the difference? They're both true. The only folly lies in that one wants to deny the other. That's right. The person that lives in 9 months of slow and darkness wants to deny that you can live continuously in the sunshine, because he's never known it. That's the tragedy. Men speak out of their knowledge. Always. Always. Without exception. That'll explain a lot to you if you'll keep that well in your heart. They may be very good men. I expect there are some marvellous Eskimos. Wonderful men, but so many are different. We know we're of God. That's a man talking who's proved. You prove by seeing and hearing and handling. Or if you like to take up Peter's strain, by tasting, seeing that the Lord is good. That's how you know. These are your powers of apprehending and knowing. And they're marvellous when they're in God. Amen. Let's go one step further, shall we? Oh, what time's lunch, Malcolm? Oh, dear. Now let's go to chapter 4 again. And so that's why you're told in verse 1 of chapter 4, you're not to believe every spirit. It's the spirits that talk. Mark it, this doesn't mean demons. It means human spirits. You're not to believe, talking about false prophets here, not devils. Read it. It's the spirits that talk. You're not to believe every spirit. Now you've got to decide whether you believe the spirit that's talking to you now. That's mine. John's spirit was talking when he said, we've seen, we've handled, we've known. That's John. All filled with the Holy Ghost and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
That's the way he does inspire people to talk anyway.
Amen. It's a human spirit that's talking to you that knows something or another. It knows something, your spirit. Knows someone. Knows some state of existence. Knows something. It's that you're not to believe every spirit. You're not to. You ought to try the spirits, whether they're of God. And if a spirit can't confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, you're to ignore him. Take no notice of it. Say, but he's a mighty preacher. Well, it doesn't matter. He might be the best prophet you've ever heard. That's the thing. God, the sacred truth he has. He's kept it there. To keep you pure, keep us true. Hallelujah. Is Jesus Christ come in your flesh? That is the things you do, are the things you do in your flesh, your fleshly actions, are they pure? Are they done in the state and relationship that God intends them to be enacted in? Are they? Is he in the flesh? Glory. Wasn't Jesus manifest in the flesh? Wasn't that wonderful spirit manifest in the flesh? God still wants it manifest in the flesh. That's how people will know they've got to have something to handle. They've got to get have something to come to grips with. They just don't want sermons. At least, I should think they don't. You see, this is what he's talking about. This is life. Life, life. It's not a message. The message is that God is light. That's the message John tells you in the first chapter. The message is that God's light. The message is that there's light everywhere. He's light. See? But the life has to be manifest in the flesh. That's wonderful. Praise God. Light is a form of God. But manifesting the flesh is the form of God. That was the form of God, Jesus. That man walking in... That he said he was in the form of God. Counted it not robbery to be equal with God. But laid aside all these things and was fashioned as a man. Found in fashion or form as a man. There he is. In the flesh. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And we're to know this. You see, the trouble is I can't really finish what I want to say if I don't go on. And it says in verse 4, you are of God. Little children, it didn't say all you holy apostles, you see. You little children, you are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. He is in you. There it is. You are in him. He is in you. Glory. Now I want to dance. I don't usually get up and sort of never up about when we're singing, but praise God, when this really gets hold of my heart, oh, I want to dance. Glory. He's in me and I'm in him. He's in me and I'm in him. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Isn't that marvellous? The devil's in the world, filled it up with his agents. But I'm not in the devil. I'm not in the world. I'm in God. I'm in the Spirit. Amen. Are you? Yeah, that's right. Just because you can't say all that I've said this morning, don't let it hesitate you from coming to the truth, making the declaration. The use of a chap like me is just to be able to say it like I say it. That's why God has chaps like us around. That's not the important thing. The important thing is for you to know. And And all I'm saying should just about be stirring you up till you're nearly ready to burst. See? Our old elder, in Bradford. He used to say, keep stirring them up, brother. Keep stirring them up.
Yeah, I never remember that.
Keep stirring them up, brother. A man once came to our church. He was a marvellous hymn writer. He wrote that glorious hymn that we sing, you know, move me, dear Lord, that others I may move. E.C.W. Bolton wrote that glorious hymn. He came there and he said something, I think probably I'd open the meeting or something like that. You know. Now, I'm just talking, so we're sitting around the dinner table now. This isn't preaching. I'm just telling you an anecdote. We were sitting round, and I think I led the meeting. And he got up as I sat down. He said, I find your pastor most provocative, he said. So a little old blind lady said, ah, us, she said. That Yorkshire for always. Ah, us. So I was a good boy. I did what my elder told me. That's right. Now keep stirring people up to go on and go on. Stir up the gift that's in them and hold the light out and raise the standard, and what's more, keep going yourself. You're useless otherwise. Useless. Pack up. Get out. People will stumble over you. Because others will go on, even if they have to stumble over you, they'll get past you somehow. Amen. They won't stumble so they'll fall. God will see to that. But he's in you. It's a matter of in now. Isn't this a lovely word? It's I and in. In. I'm in. I'm not out, not anymore. I shall never go out again. Praise God. And he'll never go out of me. Again. Never. Never. We're here, we're one forever. It's the union, it's the reproduction of the Godhead state. I'm united with him, I'm of him, I'm with him, I'm in him, he's in me. Praise the name of the Lord. This is life. You see, I can stretch, I can relax. I'm going to keep God in the society. Read that. You just keep walking. You go and play amongst the flowers and pick the daisies and you say hooray. And yes, that's right. You're free. This isn't a burdensome religion. It's alive. It's a new life. Have you got it? It's alive. Praise God. Carefree. I would have you without carefulness or anxiety, old Paul said. And the Lord said, you're not even to take your anxious thoughts about what you're going to eat tomorrow. How about that? Hope you're not worried about the lunch. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, he said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and worried about mending. But you see, your sister's chosen the better part. Now you choose the better part. Hallelujah. Come out of it. You're God's care, you're God's worry, you're God's responsibility. If he wants to let me go to hell, that's fine. I'll go. Jesus went to hell. You say, what? What are you talking about, man? We're going to heaven. Ah, but he only went to hell in transit to heaven. How about that? You say, is that what sons of God have to do? Oh. Amen. But when he was in hell, he was in heaven. Now you say, now that absolute contradiction. Right, that's the north and south pole again. That's what a man said in the psalm. He said, if I go and make my bed in hell, he said, you're there. You're there, he said. Whither can I flee from thy spirit? If I go and make my bed there, he said, you're there. There's no escaping God. Don't you see? And Jesus wasn't trying to escape God. He was trying to take God down there to those people that were in deep need in the place of departed spirit. And he accomplished it too. He didn't just try and fail. He got there. Amen. And he released those captives down there. How about that? That's a marvelous. That's why you've got to go to hell, released from captives. But be in heaven in hell. See? Be in the spirit, even there. In God. I say. I can see you're starting to smile now, brother. You see, that's the glory of God. Amen. Now there's one more little preposition. I nearly said proposition. It's in the fourth chapter still. And as we go down this same fourth chapter, we come up against another precious little and. It's not the only place it comes, but I want to point it to you. It's in verse, where shall we start? Let's start at 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. It's Jesus who's the Son of God. Is he in your flesh? Then you're a son of God, aren't you? That's right. You confess that Jesus is the Son of God, not Christianity. That's not the Son of God. You see, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's in my flesh. And it's a precious thing. Now let's go right on, shall we? God dwelleth in him, if he can make that confession. And he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, when you can really confess that. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love as a permanent abode, dwelleth in God as a permanent abode, and God in him. Herein is love with us made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as, so are we in this world. How about that? As. Exactly as. Not roughly as. As he is. That's how I am. Are you as he is? How are you this morning? So, you're rotten. Or do you say, as he is? As he is. In me, dwelling in me now, I am as he is. And I can't be any other. Keep laughing, huh? That's right. Laugh at the devil. As he is. Do you mean to tell me that as I am as he would be if he was in my body? That's right, you've got it. Say, but I'm a woman. Don't make any difference about that. No male or female here. As he is. Oh, this is the triumph of God. This is the marvel. This is that mystery that was hid in God. It's been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. Still is. It's not just written in a book. This is the secret. This is the glory. This is the wonder. Everybody's bartering eternal security for sin. You can either have sin or eternal security. That's not what God's on about. He wants you. He wants you. 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 He made you. He made man in the beginning, and he thinks you're lovely. Yes. He thinks you're wonderful. Do you know, he even had his son made a man. He thinks so much of men. Praise God. Couldn't think of anything better to do than just make Jesus his son. That glory, that I might know that God can dwell in on the earth in men. God can be a man in my manhood. Yes. And he is, as he is. You see, glory be to God. Now love is made perfect with you now. Love's made perfect with you. Love mourned for you. Love groaned for you. Love loved you afar off. Love shed blood for you. Love took your sin. But it wasn't perfected with you. It was perfected with God. There's never been more perfect love than the love of the man Christ Jesus. There's never been more perfect love than a manhood poured out all rich bread, watering down with his own water at the end. Never watered down so that it could run the further like a river and reach you. Not to lose its power, but just to give it flow from his brokenness and his heart's love for you. It was perfected in him. I could think of nothing more perfect that God could be or do, except do it in me. You wonder why on Sunday morning, if you do wonder, that I said I love that children's hymn. Eh? You wonder. The thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know it's true. He chose a poor and a humble lot and wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who loved him. You see, do you know those verses they've admitted? I sometimes think about the cross and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me. But even though I could see him die, I could but see a little part of that great love which like a fire is always burning in his heart. You see, it's most wonderful to know his love for me, so free, so sure. Yet 'tis more wonderful to see my love for him so faint, so poor. And yet I want to love thee, Lord, oh, light the flame within my heart, and I will love thee more and more until I see thee. Love has got to be perfected with me. That's in fellowship with me, indwelling me. Got to be perfected with me, living with me in my circumstances, living with me in this world that I'm not in anymore, in a sense of belonging or habituating with it. You see, it's got to get perfected with me. It's got to take on my character, this awful man North. You see, got to take it on. It was easy to take on Jesus, that perfect lamb. But love took me on. This exhaustless spirit, this tireless spirit of God. That's it. He got one word. I can almost hear him whispering it into the Father. I'm into the Father's ear. I know that this epistle of John is the communion of the Father's Father. What goes on in the Godhead? I know it. I know this epistle from front to back and in and out. God, work it into my being until I am this same living epistle. It's just that the Holy Ghost is saying to Father, as he is, Father, as Jesus. as Jesus is, as Jesus is. Until he can do it as Jesus would do it, until he can behave exactly as Jesus would say, until his voice would sound like the voice of Jesus, until his touch was like the touch of Jesus, until his eyes shone with the unquenchable flame of pure desire, like the eyes of Jesus, as though the words that came out of his mouth were like the very sword of the Spirit, as Jesus, as he is. As he is, God save me from the trumpery, trashy things of humanity, yet make me thereby more human in the heredity of the humanity of the Lamb of God that's gone back up there, and the Holy Ghost has come down through him, bringing that refined manhood down to me, that it may flow into me as endless life all the time, invigorating my whole being, throwing off everything else, taking humanity and turning it into divinity, taking flesh and making it spirit. That spirit may abide in this flesh, and I can be Jesus to men and women. As he is. What would you give now to see him as he is? Now give men and women a chance. Give them a chance to see him. Give them a chance to handle him. Give them a chance to heal him, hear him. Don't put on any shows. But live in God. We know that we are of him. We know that we are with him in fellowship. We know that we are in him and he is in us. Do you know that you're as him? Love with you must be perfected. It must run its full course and come full circle. And you must be set down there in the presence of God, finally, like Jesus. We shall see him as he is. And when we see him, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. That's the genius of the Holy Ghost. That's the flesh that comes from the blood. That's the blood that comes from the seed. That's the seed that comes from the life, the eternal life, and the natures in it. The personality must be developed, and it must be love. Pure, unbounded love thou art. And God rejoiced when he begot a son, and it was you. Amen. Let's pray, shall we?